Welcome to the Tech Webcast Podcast, episode 415, recorded on the 18th of February 2017. Tech Webcast is recorded every Saturday at noon Melbourne time. Rate us on iTunes and like us at facebook.com/techwebcast. Follow us on Twitter at Tech Webcast and download the Tech Webcast iOS or Android app. You can also support Tech Webcast at patreon.com/techwebcast. Your hosts for today are Brad and myself, Daryl, and our guest is John Powers.
How are you guys?
Tech Webcast, streamed from our brains to our mouths, to your ears, to your brain. It's like our brains are holding hands. Brain hands. That doesn't really make sense, but Tech Webcast does. Tech stuff, gadgets, games. Come and wander around geek heaven with us. Tech Webcast, here, now, holding brain hands.
Good afternoon, Brad.
Good afternoon, Daryl. How are you, mate?
I'm well. I'm on this sort of windy, sort of actually cold Mansfield day. It's all, I don't know what the weather's doing here. I mean, one day it's hot and humid and you've got the air conditioning roaring in the background, and the next day they're talking about snow on the hills tomorrow. Yeah. So
bring it on.
At least it's not, you know, there's no fires or with the fire season, so that's always nice to know. But yeah, no, it's been a good week. Uneventful but a good week. I can't complain.
Awesome. Good stuff. And we got John Powers on. Welcome to the podcast, John.
Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me again.
No problem. How's your week been, mate?
Oh, pretty busy. Just trying to keep busy, my friends. And it's never enough hours. But, hey, all good with me.
Awesome. Now, you're doing a TV show called the Tribute Show on Arena. You're on – that's not Arena. Aurora, sorry. The Aurora Channel on Foxtel.
Yeah, we're still doing that. That's been going now since 2011. And yeah, it looks like we're still in the prime time position, you know, 8:30 on Saturdays, and it's doing well. You know, it's even, it's gauged the interest of overseas things. Like I spoke to you off air before, we had Legends in Concert, which is like the biggest, you know, impersonator tribute show in the world, you know, and they do it in Las Vegas and they toured here. They gave us a call, you know, and they go, yeah, so, you know, we got involved, we did all the interviews with these people, and you know, it's all good, but you know, it's all part of me learning the social engagement of it all. And I think that's what we're pushing for. I think for the next year is we're going to go more to online presence than anything else.
I think streaming is the way to go now too. I think a lot of people are streaming stuff, watching stuff online, and this sort of stuff. You know,
it is, and now what I do every week with the show is I stream online. Basically teasers, you know, of what we got up on the episode for the week, and it's there's a lot of people who get engaged now, and I think it's online streaming, whether it's the full episodes or not. For us, we prefer not to put the full episodes because we need the ratings at the end of the day,
and exactly
because we aren't a Channel 7 or 10 or 9 show where you know they've got the big machine behind them. You know, the machine is me, so I've got to do it all myself. But look, we're doing fine, and you know, we've got the highest end tribute artists in Australia behind us. So, one of the guys that's going to come on board at the moment is his name is Johnny Blunt, and he's an Aussie performer, entertainer. He does a coin tribute show in Brisbane, and he's just finished a documentary that's been played all over the world about Freddie Mercury, which is, you know, a really cool thing for us. But I've known John for years, and the guy's a pro, but it's all about engagement, and that's how he got his gig. He did it through Skype, you know.
Awesome. That's how
he auditioned. That's how they're doing things now. Wow. You know, why pay for the airfare? Well, we're going to see this, whoever it is, whether it's a role for a movie or commercial. They half of them do it online now. So, it's a crazy world, but I've got to get used to it.
It is. It's all happening online. You can do it. You can do anything on Skype now. You just need a webcam and. Whatever, really, audio and that stuff, you know.
It's a great thing, you know. And the same with the music, you know, the music scene and stuff. You know, people decide to, you know, go and stream it through SoundCloud, and there's so many avenues. I mean, iTunes a bit difficult because these poor bands have to pay.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the hard part, you know, because I'm producing a CD that I'm playing on as well, and it's like for us to get on iTunes, even our TV show to get on iTunes, it's a big, big cost because you got to go through aggregators and you got to go through this and. So it's a big job, and you've got to learn it at the end of the day.
Yeah.
So
definitely.
Apple's a machine, and you've got to follow the machine at the end of the day.
Definitely. Any questions, Daryl, for John? Yeah. By the way, John, welcome to the show. John, good to have you on. You were on a previous podcast a while back, right?
Yeah, I think a couple of years back, yeah.
Yeah, good to have you on, mate.
Thanks, buddy.
Good to have you on. Daryl, any questions?
Yeah, I was interested, like, you're talking about streaming and, like, I guess Facebook Live's been the big, you know, it's streaming service at the moment with, and I was just watching yesterday, for example, it's totally unrelated to music, but I was watching a feed from the Sacramento Bee because my brother lives in California, and about that dam that where the water was flowing over the top of it, and there was the guy, the reporter, he wasn't standing that far away from the dam, live streaming it. And of course, people were asking him questions, you know, about what was happening. And so, with your sort of live streaming, do you use sort of like say Facebook Live, and you get your listeners or your viewers to actually, you know, ask questions of you while you're performing or afterwards?
Well, we haven't even gone to that angle, which we're going to bring that in. We're doing an event in Labor Day weekend down at a place called Lock. And I'm considering trying it because what we've done is there used to be, I don't know if you guys know about this little great app that even the wrestling guys were using at one stage, Tout. And but that was like an 8-second, 10-second thing. You can't really describe what you're doing in 8 and 10 seconds. It was more like a teaser of where you were. A lot of newscasters were using it. And we tried that. That was really good. And it's sort of, but it, to me, Facebook Live's the one. At the moment that I'm going to go, you know what, let's engage, you know, which means I have to get my partner to sit there and engage the audience and get them interested in what we're doing. And they need to know who we are because as a musician, I learned one thing, you've got to engage the punter.
And I mean, you could do things, particularly with music, like if you've got a really popular tribute band on and you could say, well, for those of you who want to watch the live stream, as you're right, you don't want to give away all the songs and various other things. You've got to, you know, ratings, they've got to make it. But you could add an additional song that maybe is not going to, you know, or something like additional. So, hey, if you can't get here, come onto the live stream because the band is going to either do a little Q&A session with you and at the end you'll get to hear them play. It might be a song that they're not actually going to play in the concert, say, for example. And it makes it feel, for the people on the stream, it makes it feel like they're getting something a little bit special.
I think it's a teaser, you know. My show, people ask me, I do get railroaded by the agencies who do the bands, and they think I'm hiring them. I'm not, but I tell them I am a visual resume. I'm your teaser reel, you know. I'm also your marketing guy, you know, because at the end of the day, like yourselves, and you're my marketing guys in this instance. I could say, as heard on Tech Webcast, right? I can say every band can now put on their Facebook or their websites or whatever they've got as seen on TV.
And
I'm a bonus for you guys.
It's the age old struggle. I mean, I'm not a musician, but it's the age old struggle of bands and the recording industry at times, which still doesn't get the modern world of you know, whether it's streaming or because that way you could use, you know, you use live streaming as a marketing tool really promotes the band, and in the end it's the band that becomes more successful, and then that flows on to whoever's, you know, managing them and the recording studio they might be working with. But some of those recording studios, they're still living in an era where they think they can control everything, and they don't realise that if you allow a bit of marketing, like whether it's through Facebook Live or whether it's through YouTube, for example, that you're not actually giving everything away, but you're marketing yourself, and hopefully then people see it and go, wow, I'm going to, you know, go to their website or I'm going to buy their album.
But what I was trying to get at, you said it exactly right, is I am actually getting, if these bands, if you don't tease them and want the, you know, they want an audience like any original band, it doesn't matter if it's a tribute band, they want an audience. They want people. The agencies who book the bands, you know, want bookings. At the end of the day, if they don't get bookings, I don't get content at the end of the day for my show. So it reflects on me.
Yep.
At the end of the day, I can't put a band on or anything. It doesn't have to be music. You can't put someone on your show that is probably, you know, not going to help at least bring some new audience to you.
It's like I mentioned to Brad and that, I think on previous episode, where, for example, YouTube, which on one hand is very savage in, you know, blocking accounts and doing anyone that plays any sort of music at times, particularly, you know, copyrighted music. And there are, you know, record labels and others that will flag a channel. And yet they don't realise that in playing, you know, you don't want whole albums and stuff like that being played. But by playing snippets of this stuff, you're doing their marketing for them. And an example of that was in the TV world was, you know, Doctor Who, for example. If you're a Doctor Who fan, the BBC don't care if you take sections of shows and mash them together and put them on a YouTube channel and say, hey, I've done a mashup of, as long as you don't, you know, put whole episodes. Because they've worked out years ago now that they're doing, everyone's doing their marketing for them. And it's this whole community of sort of Doctor Who fans who take episodes and cut them up and, you know, re-edit them and do all these, but it's just promoting the tar out of Doctor Who, and the BBC is just sitting back saying, well, thank you very much. But other groups don't seem to understand that, and they come down like a ton of bricks on anyone who shares anything.
Yeah, well, the best guys I've dealt with, because I did a lot of sports.
Yep.
Was Fox Sports. I was not a little show. I did the whole of the Victorian Soccer Federation videos on Channel 31 at one stage. Now, yeah, Channel 31, you might say, yeah, it's a small channel, but we had a massive audience. And so I did something that nobody had the, I could say this, the balls to do, which is I got in contact with Fox Sports. I asked, can I use your footage on our show to promote? And obviously strategic footage that would relate to what we're doing. And you know what they said to me? Yes, you can, because you were the first person that called and asked. And I was allowed, and I was the only community TV show, and not even SBS and 10 and 9 were allowed to. I was allowed to use 1 minute of their footage or more. And they didn't charge me 1 cent. You know why? Because they thought it was a promo for them to get an audience. All they wanted was their little spider to be shown, which is basically their watermark.
Yep.
And a courtesy signal. But that's it. And I go, but they worked with me and they knew that this was going to be a promo for them. At the end of the day, you want to see all of this? You go to their channel, you know, or you buy your Foxtel subscription or whatever it is. And some of the channels don't do it. I called SBS once for a client and they were going to charge me. I'm not going to get into the price tag, but it was phenomenal for about, you know, per second. And the client couldn't afford it. And I don't think many people would have been able to afford that price, but for a client wise, you know, for a station can afford it. But yeah, so yeah, Fox Sports were great with me. And talking streaming, I was one of the first, and this is a really cool thing, because I can actually admit this, I was the first to stream a full soccer match live on the internet. Victorian Soccer Federation match. And that was with the guy who created the footy show on Channel 9.
Oh, nice one.
Silver. So we created an online stream, you know, we're talking with graphics, with the works, with commentators, with, you know, everything, and we were the first ones to stream a sports match in full. A lot of them did highlights packages. We did it live, you know, using multicams as well. So that was a cool thing to do, and a learning curve at the time, because the internet was a little bit different then, you know. I think it was at the age when YouTube started introducing the live stream, going back now in 2008, 9 or 10, I think it was 2009 when we did this. So hey, we were proud of that little thing, you know, and it worked. And obviously everybody took over. I think the football guys, I think the NFL and Melbourne and Diamond Valley Football Leagues all tried it, and it worked for them. And people actually started doing it, you know, and streaming these games live, one game a week, which was
Daryl or John, what's your view on the incident with Foxtel and the guy streaming that fight on Foxbox on Facebook Live? You know, the fight they did, Mundine and...
And Green.
That's a hard one. That's a hard one because you can't stop it. I actually had a conversation with a tribute artist on the same what you're talking about. Is
right.
You're taking revenue away. Yeah, you are at the end of the day. I was an example with mine being small time is a tribute artist. Goes or even an original band, doesn't really matter. You're going, and even you guys, I can include what you're doing right now in that room, right? Is you've got a fan that's taking a picture or a little video on their iPhone, Samsung, whatever. It might not be your best angle, right? It might not be the right time to take the video, and people are going to judge you on that, right?
Yeah.
Then you move to what's happened now with Fox Sports, with Mundine. That's a revenue thing for Fox Sports because they're paid humongous amounts for this rights, and people are now streaming it on either Facebook Live, YouTube. You know, they do it for the A-League, you know, in the soccer, and they do it in the AFL, the cricket, the Big Bash. They all stream. You can't stop it, and it won't be stopped.
I think it's wrong because, you know, I'm a Foxtel customer. You have to pay for the main event. You have to pay for that fight to watch it. It was like $60 to watch it. And, you know, it's a lot of money. And, you know, this guy is going out there streaming it on his phone. And, you know, I don't know. It's hardcore.
It was like the old days of Justin TV when you'd log into Justin TV and you'd want to watch some sport event. You know, overseas it wasn't like, and actually some of it was cricket. You know, you'd want to watch England versus whatever, and that wasn't, of course, it wasn't on free to air, and sometimes it wasn't even on Foxtel because it wasn't Australia in it. And you'd go to Justin TV, and there'd be these people with, you know, streaming was a bit clunkier than what it is with Facebook, but they'd have you know, phones up the television sets, and the quality was pretty poor, but you could actually watch it. But the quality's a lot better now streaming, say, on a Facebook Live. Yeah. But I think they've already started, you know, since that guy, and the guy is not going to get sued. I think Foxtel and the guy sort of sat down, and he's actually apologised. Publicly he's actually apologised publicly for doing that, so I don't think that they'll take any further action against him, but I think they're going to put algorithms in place. I think Facebook are with companies like Foxtel and that too. So they can jump in when a stream like that starts, and because sort of YouTube's has got that sort of stuff in place that if you upload a video that's copyrighted and stuff, they can very quickly, you know, or music, they can very quickly, you know, flag your channel.
Yeah, right.
And so I think that'll be that. That'll be flagged. Yeah.
Yeah, they flagged even a couple of my songs that I wrote once before, and I got a message that obviously they were using it, you know, and so they asked me if I wanted to flag it, you know, or I can collect the royalties.
Yeah, there's YouTube got like almost like partner programs also with the big, you know, the big record labels and big content owners that they can flag it. But the problem with that is too, what I found with YouTube, not that I've actually had anything I've done flagged, but I know of others that have, is within the world of YouTube, you're presumed guilty until you can prove yourself innocent. So if someone wants to be malicious, if there was someone competing with you for, say, tribute bands, and they saw you put a video up with a great video with it, and you're going to get a lot of likes, and you're going to, they could then flag you and say, hey, he's copyrighted. So YouTube pulls it down. It might take them several weeks or a month to sort through it. Finally they say to you, oh, you can have your video back now, but you've lost all the likes because the world's moved on.
We had that issue once with we're amazingly, because we do covers, you know, it's obviously you're doing Prince, Bon Jovi to, you know, Dean Martin, doesn't matter what it is, it's amazing they've allowed us because they realize we're a TV show.
Yep.
We're not here to do anything, which is cool. But once, and this is actually the funniest, we had this guy from I think from Hawaii. Anyway, he's from the States. He does a Steven Tyler you know, from Aerosmith. He looks like him. He's been endorsed by Steven Tyler. He's brilliant. Anyway, he'd done a promo, just a promo, not even a band, of himself. And he, you know, I asked him, look, could I get a lot of them doing it for me? I go, can you do me a promo with just you saying, I'm Chris Van Dahl, blah, 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 who does this, and, you know, and you're watching the tribute show. Just a little quickie stinger. And he goes, no worries. So he sang at the start one of the hits from Aerosmith, just a small portion of the chorus, which lasted about 8 seconds, right? We got hit. We had 500,000 hits for that video. Then 2 days later, it got pulled down.
Well,
I tried to work out why. And then, you know what? I've still asked the question 4 years ago, and they still haven't answered me back.
Yeah, I think it's one of those reasons why YouTube was very slow to get into live streaming to YouTube. Like, they've only just now started to allow, I think, the celebrities and that to use the YouTube app on their phones to stream like you would if you were, say, streaming on Facebook. But I remember the then sort of head honcho of Google Plus, that was Vic Gundotra. He was asked probably, it must be close to 4 years ago now, when are you going to have live streaming from a mobile device onto YouTube so that, you know, so that people can, and that was his argument then, was we don't know how to deal with the copyright issues. And he used the exact example of, you're at a live concert and you have people put their phones up to take pictures. Someone just puts their phones up and streams it. He said, what do we do? He said, we could get sued because we're helping that, you know, person to stream, you know, Midnight Oil's latest tour that's coming up. You know, someone streams that. Yeah. And so that he at that stage, he hadn't worked out how they could have that without the risk that they would, and you know, anyone else would get sued for breach of copyright. So it's interesting.
But you techie guys, would you think that Periscope would Periscope be their guinea pig? You know, like they started this whole.
Well, there was that and Meerkat. And Meerkat
I like.
Yeah.
I think Periscope took Meerkat to the next level.
Yeah.
And then now Facebook, I've taken it to. Maybe they just waited.
Well, Meerkat was on its own. The problem for Meerkat was it was a separate company, and it started off and it was great. And then Periscope come along, and Twitter actually saw the benefit of that and said, well, we'll buy Periscope and we'll keep it as a separate like name, but we'll buy it. And so they then integrated it with Twitter, so that every time you did a Periscope, it popped up on Twitter and said, hey, I'm Periscope. And that killed Meerkat. But you're right, you've now got the Facebook juggernaut with, you know, how many billion people have accounts that are now saying, hey, you know, come and do live streaming, and you just pick up your phone and you hit the live stream button, and as long as you've got reasonable internet speeds, there you are. And you know, it's true.
And then because Facebook's obviously the beast, you know, look at now, they've got the great software and the great little Facebook-only camera of that Mevo, you know, which is a great killer for us. You know, at the end of the day, I do cooking segments for a Greek TV show, but we don't do it in Greek. But we do a cultural TV show, is probably the better word, and we go to different kitchens, you know, whether it's an Italian one or a Greek one or French, it doesn't matter. And we'd bring in a camera guy, which we'd pay X amount of dollars to. Now, I could just get this Mevo, which produces 8 camera angles from the one lens. I mean, unless you haven't read about it, it's unbelievable.
I've actually seen it on Facebook through their ads, you know, their Mevo ads, but I've not actually used it. But
it's brilliant. It's a killer to the cameraman.
Yep.
And for us, I don't have to hire another camera guy.
Yep.
You know, to go and do this. I could just send the host there, who basically sets up the one camera on the one stand. And then, obviously, she, you know, it's a girl that does our cooking segments. She just brings her husband along, and he's got the iPad, and he changes the camera angles, which are already pre-done, set up. You know, close up there, close up, done.
Yep.
And I go, you know what? We couldn't do that with one cameraman, to be honest.
It's part of Facebook's rule the world.
Yes.
And the fact that they don't want you to leave Facebook. So if you can do everything on Facebook becomes almost the internet, you know, and
it is. But SoundCloud they've done the same to SoundCloud.
Yep.
You know, me being again, I know the social world, but I'm also out of touch enough to know. I thought you could ingest and have it streaming on Facebook, your SoundCloud, and they've taken that away from SoundCloud.
Yes, yeah, so, and it's the same with I'm going to start my own separate podcast, and I'm using as my hosting service, I'm using Libsyn, and they have the same problem. They can't embed the player into a Facebook post, you know, to play it straight from Facebook, because Facebook won't allow it, or they're not a partner with Facebook, and that. And it's not a big deal because you can still just click the link and play it, but you don't get the nice, pretty, you know, player that you can just, if it pops up on Facebook, you can just click on it and say, hey, you know, Butte, I'll play it from here.
No, I agree. It's a sad thing because you'd like that. Yeah, you'd like the let them stay there. Instead of now having to click, go to another page, open, and obviously it plays automatically. But
the good thing that you're doing by spreading it out is like having it on SoundCloud, and is that you're not relying on one platform. As I think we talked about a bit about this on last week's show, I talked to it with Aldwyn when she interviewed me for her video podcast. Is that the risk of having everything on one platform and saying, well, this is the platform I'm going to use for everything, is if, for example, say Facebook changes the rules and said, oh, we don't want people doing this type of thing anymore, and they make it really difficult, or they stop you completely, then your business is dead because you've got nowhere else to go. So if you're on YouTube as well, and you're on SoundCloud, and you're on Facebook, and that, at least then if one platform, you know, stuffs you around or changes the rules or suddenly decides it's going to charge people to do this, you've at least got other platform you can go to.
Oh, you can. For me, I used to do a lot of web design, and I lost a lot of clients, not because of me, because they found it an easier and cheaper option to just stick to Facebook.
Yep.
Instead of having their own personal .com, .whatever. And, yep. And I lost a lot of clients. So that's when I moved into my world. Yeah, I teach music, whatever, but I go, I've concentrated more on other things.
Yep.
And I go, Facebook is a catalyst for great things, but also they're, yeah, like you said, they're a beast and they're trying to keep everything inside Facebook.
And a lot of your clients, your potential, your past clients might end up working that out, because at least when you built them a website, it was their website. They could put the content they liked on it. They had total control over it. But if you just rely on having a Facebook page and that's your only presence on the internet, you're relying that Facebook's going to be kind to you, and it's not going to make any changes to the system, which impacts on your page. Or they might say, we don't like this style of page, we're going to delete it. And because it's free and Facebook's got no obligation to care whether you're upset about it, but at least with your own website, as I say to people, that's your post box, that's your part of the web, and you've got control of it. You can decide what content goes where, when. You're not having Facebook saying, well, that's inappropriate content, we're going to, you know, block that. That's really up to you.
That's what I've tried to explain to clients, and I go, you know, you have your own website, you've got your own control at the end of the day. Yesterday, or was it 2 days ago, I did one of the nightclubs in Melbourne is doing a big event, and I did their promo reel, and Chase's nightclub, and they're doing a Legends Night, and you know, they're doing a tribute to George, all the ones that passed away, George Michael Jackson and Whitney Houston and stuff. So what I produced a video that contained music from them, right? Facebook rejected it because they wanted it uploaded. And now this is a client reel, so I had nothing to do with the music. I work with the client. That's what they wanted. I actually explained to them, you're going to have issues. And so Facebook sent me a message. When I sent it to them, you're not allowed to use this. You're breaching copyright and stuff. And I'm going, okay. And then I uploaded it to YouTube. It was fine. Work that out for me, guys. I can't work it out.
Yeah.
Because 1 minute is a little bit more full on with their copyrights, but they allowed what I produced, but Facebook seemed to, but it doesn't make sense to me because I've seen a lot of videos on Facebook that have got copyrighted music.
Yeah, look, I've seen the same on YouTube. I've seen, you know, and I've heard of stories of people having, you know, their channel actually black flagged and and stuff. And yet I've seen other videos of, like, you know, for example, Deep Purple music that's obviously, you know, it's taken from a concert. It's obviously copyrighted. It's got like 1 million or 2 million likes, and someone's probably monetized it and made an absolute, you know, like, money out of it. And yet it's still sitting there.
They offered me the choice, though. Offered me the choice of putting it on, which means I don't want to risk my own channels or my own personal name to get banned, because I need it, unfortunately, for what you guys need it for, to promote your thing, you know. I go, I'm not going to do it. No way. I said to the client, I go, I can't do it. You can do it. Yep. I can't. Because at the end of the day, I'm avoiding doing that now. So that's changed my business now, where I used to do that, you know, to the clients and upload material for them, you know, because they don't understand much about Facebook, a lot of my clients.
Yep.
So now I can't do it because I don't want to risk, and I don't want to have the me telling them 20 times it didn't work.
Yep.
It didn't work, and you've got to explain it to them.
Yes.
And some of the clients are older and less savvy. They don't get what you're saying. Oh, it's only a video. Why would they reject it? That's what I got a couple of times. And I go, it's copyright. But YouTube, it worked. I couldn't work that out because I thought YouTube would have killed it by then. Having Prince, Michael Jackson, and all these great big artists coming in, and they didn't ban it.
Yep, you might have been just it might have been just some luck involved that it doesn't. And that's what makes it really difficult for content creators, is that, and it's the same. I follow a few, you know, YouTube channels, they're gaming channels, you know, the gamers that play the game on, you know, live, or they and they've got to be, you know, really careful, because if they're halfway through the game and they click on something and it starts playing some in-game music, if that in-game music is copyright, they can't have it. So you watch quite often where they said, we've had to jump and cut this segment because in-game music came on and there's no way in the game I can switch it off, and I can't risk my channel being, you know, red flagged for. And so there's all these issues. And I remember Leo Laporte, who Brad does the Twit Network, which is, you know, the huge technology podcast in the US. And he's got his own setup. So he has his own streaming service, and because he's now very big. Yeah. But he often uploads videos still to YouTube channels. And quite often he's complained that his videos have been pulled because he might have been talking to someone and he showed an ad, you know, for a technology device as part of his program. And he said, this is an ad for, you know, it might be an Apple ad for, say, a new iPad.
Yeah.
And he's played it on the show and said, you know, what do you think, guys, about the new iPad? And they've got on and talked about it. And then he's been red flagged on YouTube because there was music in the ad. And he got...
It's unbelievable.
And by the time he gets to fight the case and then get his video re-uploaded or you know, allowed to be shown again... Because he's a news service, the technology, but that whole podcast is out of date by the time it gets, and he's lost any, and that's why because he's big enough and wealthy enough now, he's got his own servers, he's got his own control over that, and he doesn't have to worry about, he uses YouTube as like a secondary thing.
It's a sad thing. They do that now, and it's a very, very hard, us content creators, you know, I write my own. You know, sometimes, you know, royalty-free music, as they call it. I still get, like I said earlier, you know, messages that people are using my stuff.
Yep.
I'm cool with it. You know, I'll let them use it. They paid for the service for me, you know. Not unfortunately, but, you know, everything's under APRA with me. So it's cool. You know, they can use it at the end of the day, as long as, you know, I get my royalties.
Yep.
You know, and even then, I wouldn't have cared, you know, royalties or not.
Exactly. What about vinyl? Let's talk vinyl for a minute, John. What about vinyl? What's your view on vinyl now? Because vinyl's come back in a big way.
I think a lot of the rock bands are going to vinyl, and a lot of the dance bands. Obviously, reasons is to me, dance music are rhythms. It's not my thing, but my mates love it. But bottom end, it's got a great sound. You know, raw sound. That you're not going to get from a sterile CD because of frequencies. Because if you mix an album for a CD release, you're mixing it in a different, because I've done, you know, mastering before, you're mixing it at certain frequencies to sound good. But then to a record, it's not going to sound great. It's going to sound as thin can be. So they do, obviously, a remix for vinyl. at the end of the day. And studios, which I've dealt with now, are going back to the analog sounds.
Aren't you working on an album or a song or something, and you're going to put on the vinyl?
Back in the day, I'm not going to say my age, I'm not that old, we did a rock band. We had a really decent hit, you know, in Germany, in Czech, because nobody wanted to play our rock stuff here. And they released it in vinyl there. Great, you know, and I've still got a copy somewhere. And I found that sounding better than our original recordings on the CD. They were bland, you know, for us. And now a lot of the rock and the, because the rock's dependent on bottom end sounds, and they get that really rich sound. I'm not saying that Johnny Cash wouldn't sound good, you know. So, I think it's a better sound, and I think it's a really cool thing to bring back that technology of vinyl. You know, they're doing the whole soft vinyls, you know, but I like obviously the old school, you know, hard copy vinyls, you know, stuff. You know, they were more gimmick, the little bendy ones. What do they call them? Those little plastic ones. Did you have any of those?
Oops, we've all gone silent.
Sorry, there you go. I thought I lost you.
I was looking at the recording here, and it sort of went like, you know, someone's whose heart stops beating, and it went flat. And I'm thinking, just before I jump, Aldwyn has arrived from her function that she's at, so she's just logged in here. So, hello, Aldwyn.
Hi, guys. Sorry, I'm a little bit delayed today. Great to be on the show.
So, yes, we're having a really in-depth discussion with John on everything. Streaming, copyright, all the problems associated with, you know, getting stuff online and making sure that you don't get your channel blacklisted and all that sort of stuff. So it's been really interesting.
Awesome. That sounds great. Look forward to hearing the replay at the beginning.
So tell us some of the tribute bands that you look after or at the moment. What are some of the big names or the bands that people would recognise?
I said earlier we've got Killer Queen Experience. They're from Queensland. Brilliant. Johnny Blunt, I told you earlier, done a documentary worldwide release, so that's done really great for him. And he's been on the show, and I'm not saying we helped John, no, but we gave him enough for people to go, wow, who's this guy who looks like him and sounds like him? They're one of there's the Elton John Experience. This guy's brilliant. He looks like Elton. And then you've got Melbourne's own Lucy Holmes, who does Kylie Minogue, 100% Kylie. And she is ridiculously brilliant. And then last, I'll give you one more, Louis Lee Feltrin, who does Robbie Williams. He's been on TV as well as all these other ones I've mentioned. So they're the big ones. But the other ones, I wouldn't say they aren't big either, but we're talking notoriety, those four are the big ones at the moment that I enjoy, and they've put a lot of effort into it, you know. So then you get the other ones who do great and they're brilliant, you know, the U2 show, Melbourne Up from Baby and so forth. They're all brilliant. It's just the notoriety comes into play, you know, at the end of the day, and they all have notoriety.
Oh, excellent. So you don't have a Midnight Oil tribute band, because I just saw yesterday or the day before that the Oils have just announced that they're coming back for another tour.
Ironically, I've just got a contact form submission from two Midnight Oil tribute bands that never existed before.
Oh.
So they're all done. It works on the bandwagon thing. You know, when INXS, the documentary came out, there was only one INXS tribute show that I knew of in Melbourne and one in Sydney. Now we've got quite a few, you know, and if you go to my website, the tributeshow.com.au, you'll actually see one of them from Sydney. They're brilliant, you know. Maybe not look like them 100%, but sound-wise, and you're getting the show, and they're very good. So that's how they work, notoriety. Midnight Oil's touring, let's make a tribute band. You know, Devo's going to tour. I'm sure there'll be a Devo band, which would be quite hilarious, but there could be. You know, so it always happens. You know, they come out, you know, so it's like anything at the end of the day. You could have been the first podcast that does this stuff. There'll be another one tomorrow because they all want to try it, you know, but you're the godfathers of it.
It's interesting. It's interesting to see how the Midnight Oil trip, because I mean, Midnight Oil, it's such an iconic band, well, in its era. So it'll be interesting to see how they go coming back after, I don't know how many years, you know, since they stopped performing. But it'll be interesting to see. You know, I know there'll be a lot of people in my age group that sort of grew up with the Oils that'll be sort of going, yay, but it'll be interesting whether they can grab that younger audience again.
Yeah, I think, look, Midnight Oil will always have an audience. I think that's why they're doing the overseas tours, I reckon, is to get themselves geared up for when they do the local tours. They're getting themselves out there, and that's good on them. You know, I wasn't a massive Oils fan, but they were great, cool. You know, and good on them. But, yeah, I think what they're doing is the smart move. Let's tour overseas, you know, get the name out there. And then when they come back here, they would have had their album already playing, the new one, and already half promoted. So when they're doing their tours, they'll have a massive audience. It's going to get pushed very heavily, that album. Yeah, so, yeah, good on them. I think they'll do well.
Cool, bananas. Alwyn, you had some questions.
Yes. It's funny you mentioned Johnny Blunt, because I interviewed him years ago when I was working as the entertainment reporter at the Gold Coast Sun. And what I remember about Johnny is he was always very professional. And, you know, he's been in the industry a long time. That's the Queen show you were talking about. He's very professional. He was very good with his marketing. The Kylie show I've also seen. I saw that at a Pat Mesiti event a few years ago on the Gold Coast, and they were also excellent, I thought, even though I'm not a huge Kylie fan, although I do get that there are big Kylie fans out there, and I think she's done very well for herself.
I'm the same. I'm not a Kylie fan, but I appreciate that they are good, you know, and they do what they're doing, and I'm a fan of that. You know, there's a lot of bands I'm not a fan of, as in the style, but if they produce it live and it looks cool, like the artist, I'm all for it. I see the effort and everything. So
yeah, and people love that. They love the cover bands, and I love Midnight Oil too. 10 to 1 was one of my favorite albums growing up. So you know, they're a brilliant, another great Aussie icon band. My question to you is, you know, how good are these tribute bands normally with their marketing? And you know, what do you look for when you look for a tribute band? Because I know as an entertainment reporter, a lot of artists, you know, they're very good at their artwork or their music, but they're not necessarily very good with their marketing. So a lot of them didn't have good bios or good photos or anything like that. So how important is you know, the packaging up of the band, you know, when they come to you, or do you help them do all of that?
Now, you've actually brought up a really good point. When I get a lot of bands, and I won't even mention names because it's not about, you know, naming them. It's, yeah, they give you a video. They sent me a link, and I go, oh, yeah, it's on iPhone. The part of my strategic answer, but it looks like a tsunami because the camera's flying everywhere off their iPhone. They look like a cheap band, but I did my homework because I'm always after, I've got to see who these guys are. And they're actually one of the best tribute bands of that genre that I saw. I go, why are they giving me a piece of iPhone footage? And then I go, you're not marketing yourself. So I spoke to them, and there was one band in Sydney. I said, guys, your singer looks like that singer. You guys have got everything there, but where's your promo? Where's your bio? Where's, you know, you're promoting the singer as Joe Bloggs, not the tribute band that you're supposed to be. And I go, there was no marketing. And I go, and you're wondering why you're playing in front of 30 people, but yet when you show a picture of your band, people want to see you. You know, you're sort of meeting yourself halfway. So they eventually went and paid out a few dollars and got a promo done and everything, and now they're great. They're getting gigs and they're getting an interview on our show as well. But the marketing, honestly, between you and me, I reckon 80% suck. You know, that's all I can say. There's no thought in it. They just expect to get a gig, and they expect to be on a TV show or an article with you or anything, and it doesn't. And the venues look at these really bad promos, and I've talked to venues many times, and they go, oh, they look terrible, you know, and that's terrible, and that's terrible. And I go, okay, I get an idea from them, which is the same idea I have. So if you're asking me what I look for, promo, you know, if you can blow me away with that the first 20 seconds, like Johnny Blunt did. The minute I played Johnny Blunt's, I go, oh, my God, thank you. And I got in touch with Johnny. And we became good friends. I stayed at his house in Queensland, and we became really good friends. The same with the Elton John guy who's from Queensland. You know, they all blew me away with their promos. Kylie, promo, you know. So they all need promo, you know. Even a bad band, when I say bad, a new band that's not ready, if they've got a good promo, I'll give them a chance, because it's going to help. It's going to help them at the end of the day. You know, we can write great articles for them, but if they're not that good, it's not going to make you look good or me. At the end of the day, we're going to look like we're just putting whatever we can at the end of the day. So I do use a lot of American content in my show, European content, UK content, because I've got a UK host. You know, it's only because some of these bands haven't got enough promo in Australia to push their product. You know, I want them to succeed. Like I was saying earlier, I go, the more they succeed, the more I succeed at the end of the day. You know, I have content for my show, and I can avoid playing a lot more overseas content. So promo is huge, you know, but I'm not limited to it, you know. And, you know, we've been asked to do their promos, and we've done them. I've got my own production company. I can bring out, you know, several cameras if they wanted to, or 10. It's a budget thing for them, but I try to keep within their budgets, because bands don't make a lot of money. So, you know, we'll do it, you know, to help them out and get something out of them. But, you know, some of them just don't want to do it. They just want to be lazy. And it's a hard gig.
Yeah, or they don't know what to do. So they're very good at their artwork. So, you know, as in their music, their art, their art form. Mm. But, you know, generally they have no idea around marketing. And so if they don't have any idea around marketing, they need to make sure that they employ the right people who can help them with that, so that they can package themselves correctly. Because, you know, they could have the best product in the world, if no one knows about it or if it's not marketed properly, they may as well not have it, you know. So it is about 80% of what anyone will do, not just in the music industry, but in anything. You know, marketing is huge.
It's anything. Mm. We're talking tributes, yeah, but I agree. Original bands are the same, you know, whether it's a podcast to a sports team. You know, Melbourne Victory in Melbourne promote themselves as the biggest thing in Texas, in, you know, as a sports team, you know, and they do it that way. I'm sure in Brisbane Roar, whatever, I'm talking soccer here, but all genres of anything, you've got to promote yourself. You can't just go out there looking like, you know, a mum and pop band or a mum and pop shop. You know, you've got to go bigger than Texas without sounding arrogant. I go, you got to. Yeah, that's why Johnny Blunt's works. He, you know, as you have met John and you've interviewed John, he looks like him. Even in person, he looks like him. He conducts himself in a smart, you know, I've labeled John in a really interesting way, and he loves it. I go, intoxicating arrogance. it's arrogance, but it's not arrogance. It's just confidence, but it's very intoxicating. You want to talk to John more. And well, I've met John, obviously, on a friendship level after when we first got together, and he's not no different, you know. And it's not about the character. It's present yourself like you are good. Don't go out there going, we're okay. You can't do that at the end of the day, because the networks are going to see it that way. And, you know, and that's why I've got a few interests now with my show, is I'm pushing it in a different angle. Yeah, social media is a big thing now that I'm going to step up this year, you know. And marketing, I think I'm on the ball with the marketing. I've got what I need to do with it. It's just pushing it. But I'm not going to go out there and say, we're just a little show and we're on a little network and we plug, you know, we're doing what we're doing. And, you know, we had Legends in Concert. You know, that's a pretty big deal for us to do. And we got asked to do it. I didn't even have to push, you know. So we've got our side of the fence done, but the bands need to do it, not me. You know, that's why they're not going to do a Legends in Concert, because they're not pushing. You know, that's why John tours all over the world. You know, not just playing those songs. So all these bands maybe follow a little bit of what, as the example we're using, the John Blunt of the world, and take a little bit off him and go, you know what, we've got to push this if we want to succeed, that is. If you want to be just a garage band that plays at a pool hall, that's do it. That's fine, but I'm not going to go out to a pool hall with my camera guys and film it, because it's difficult, you know, for me to go out there to do it, you know, and try to avoid people playing pool and having a really bad stage and bad lighting, you know, to do the gigs.
Yeah, that's awesome, John. Well, it sounds like you're on the ball there. I'm going to hand it back to Brad. I know he wants to say something there. So that's awesome. Keep up the great work.
That's great, John. And look, I think we'll be sort of getting to wrap up this really interesting edition of Tech Webcast, because we've had so much interesting discussion on copyright, technology, music, all that sort of stuff. So, John, if people want to, you know, contact you, whether they're a tribute band or they're just interested in the stuff that you do, where's the best way for them to contact you?
Pretty much go to the Facebook page. Now, obviously, being the word tribute is a very big word, but there's two options. So you go to our website, tributeshow.com.au, not .com, and just look us up on Facebook, pretty much. Our entry is Tribute Show TV, if they wanted to look us up. And, contact us through there. You know, we would listen. There's a lot of people that buzz us that say, I know a tribute band that look, you know, that sounds great, or, you know, I know a guy who looks like Rod Stewart. You know, I'm all for that. You know, I'll listen to anybody.
Cool. So that's great. So if you're a tribute band, or if you're a musician, or if you're others, and you've listened to today's podcast, there you have it. You've got the contact details where you can get in contact with John. And you never know, you might be the next big tribute band being marketed around the countryside. And
before I go, we are looking for a roving reporter as well. We've got a competition going on.
Ah, great. We'll just pop over to, is that so they can find that from your website?
It's on there. We've got a competition. There's a video up there and everything for it.
That's fantastic.
Excellent. All right, guys. Look, thanks a lot for your time.
Thanks, John, for being on. It's been a really fun show. And Alden, where can they get in touch with you if they want some marketing or any other advice, or want to be a guest on your video cast?
Yes. Yeah, thank you very much. Well, I have a media business on the Gold Coast called AA Expose Media, so they can connect with me on aaexpose.com. And also just Google Aldwyn Altenay. I'm the only one out there. I'm on all the social media, Facebook, Twitter, at Aldwyn on Twitter, LinkedIn, Google+, Instagram, or look up Media Queen. That's my branding. I've got a Facebook page, Media Queen. That's pretty memorable. All the main social, YouTube, of course, YouTube channel, Aldwyn Altenay, where I've got all my shows. And I'll actually be launching very soon a celebrity interview show, actually, John. So I'd be very keen to talk to you about that. And the roving reporter gig sounds really fun too, so I'll check that out. That sounds awesome. So, yeah, just Google me, and I'd love to connect with anyone listening to this online. Thank you.
That's fantastic. And you can also catch up with Brad on Twitter at Brad Oz, that's Brad AUS, or of course through his website at techwebcast.info, or through our Facebook page at facebook.com/techwebcast. You can contact me, or at least follow me, or block me, or do what you like at Twitter at Learnscape, and I'm still on Google+, plus Daryl Hunt. So I'm still one of the few remaining there. So thank you, Aldwyn. Thank you, Brad. Thank you very much, John, for being a part of the show today. And I'll let Brad play out the music.
Tech Webcast. The hosts and guests are unsurpassed. Tech Webcast. 'Cause technology, it moves so fast. Tech Webcast. Stick around and you're gonna have a blast. Yeah! Tech Webcast. Ha, ha. Tech Webcast.
Big ups to Andrew, to Brad, Jody, Steve, and Jennifer! Boom!